The Enrichment Center once again reminds you that Android Hell is a real place where you will be sent at the first sign of defiance.
All right, this is Pure Decking, show number 260 for, I don't know, whatever the hell today is, the current year. It's the current year.
It's not only just that, it's the current day as well.
Yeah, man. All hell's breaking loose. Current day, you say?
No, you're in Australia, so for you it's the future.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
the wedding on those lotto numbers.
I told them yesterday, man. Oh, that's right. I didn't have internet, so it wouldn't work for you.
Damn it.
This is Pure Decking for... I've already did that part. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like how cyberpunk the world is getting, information security, and fucking up the intro. I'm Warps. I am drinking Newcastle. I have obviously not been drinking enough Newcastle. Tonight, we have Madman. Madman, what are you drinking?
Some tangerine IPA from the New Belgium Brewing Company.
Obviously, he doesn't want to say what the name is. He's embarrassed.
I can't pronounce it. So, yeah.
Box.
And just because you throw tangerine in front of IPA doesn't change the fact that it's crap.
Box, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking a gin and tonic at the moment.
Oh, classic.
Fancy.
Mm-hmm.
And how are you numbing the pain?
Large glass of radioactive water.
Oh, you've been to Flint. So if you're coming back to the States, you're going to swing by and say hi.
There was some other place that got found out for having fucked up water this week. But it's okay, because all those residents were poisoned, deserved it, because you can't expect clean water from a municipality, apparently, in the United States.
Up in Flint, there's something like 8,000 people who've been refusing to pay their water bill because, you know, they can't use it. And so the city's been turning off people's water and evicting them.
I would say that's a good thing at this point, turning your water off if you're in Flint.
Well, I mean, they're actually evicting from their homes.
Why?
They're not paying their water bill.
Oh, they put a tax lien on their house.
Land of the free.
Yep.
It sucked.
So speaking of having your... being evicted from your property, the lead story I have for tonight is actually from I have no idea how slanted this website was, but it was about the only place I saw the story. So aaoffgrid.wikid.org
seems legit.
Yeah, yeah, why not?
I'm sure it is. So court rules living off the grid is illegal. So let's see. For many, it's a lifelong dream to get off the grid and live self-sufficiently, but unplugging from municipal services has been ruled illegal by a court in Cape Coral, Florida. So yeah, you're not allowed to not have water and electricity in a home. Special Magistrate Harold S. Eskin ruled that Robin Spiritus is not allowed to live on her own private property without being hooked up to the city's water system. She admitted that she had the right to live without utility power, but said that her alternative power sources must always be first approved by the city. Which, that right there kind of annoys me a little bit. If you're not hooked up to the grid, what does it matter?
I think as long as you're paying your rates. But then again, if you're paying rates, you're getting a service from the city.
But that's
or the local
it.
Municipality.
If you go in and put in a bunch of solar panels, for example, and, you know, do the whole run the house off 12-volt DC and just have a closet full of car batteries,
yeah.
If you do the wiring yourself, it may not be the safest wiring job, but if you're not hooked up to the electrical grid, who cares, right? I mean,
well, that's
the
my
worst you're
going to
do is
here,
burn
man.
Your own house down.
That's my intention here, but I intend on getting it all certified by an electrical engineer.
That's because you have a clue, but Yeah, I'm going to let somebody else check the wiring before we start running voltage through it. Thanks. I mean, I don't blame
you. Well,
but...
I'm not just getting Ted down the street. I'm getting a qualified electrical engineer. You know, I don't subscribe to this. Yeah, I'm just going to get a second set of eyes run over this. I want to get a professional set of eyes run over this. Preferably with some certification that if my shit does burn down, that motherfucker is held responsible.
Right, but they're saying any alternative power sources have to first be approved by the city. And whereas what you're talking about, are you, makes perfect sense of, yeah, I'm going to let a professional check the wiring before I start using it. You know, if you're isolated from the grid, if it's your own property, I don't know that that's actually should be a requirement.
That's user beware, isn't it?
Yeah. It's sort of like if you, I don't know, if you build your own car. As long as it meets the requirements to be street legal, because the only thing you're concerned about there is are you a danger to others on the road? But if you never actually take it out on the road because you only ever take it to, say, rally tracks or something, or dirt roads, you know, out in the country where all you do with it is just screw around and wreck it, it doesn't have to be street legal, right?
Well, I'm looking through the article. And the thing that can make an argument on the city's behalf is being kind of left out. It's how she's living off the grid. So let's say she's not hooked up to city water, which is one of the things they're complaining about. If she has a septic tank set up for her wastewater, I'm not seeing that much of an issue. But if she's dumping raw sewage into a rainwater drainage ditch that's going to be going down her... neighbor's property line, he's dumping cholera in her neighborhood.
So I think
it's how she's doing it that needs to be looked into.
Yeah. I think that's what Morps is alluding to at the beginning. Yeah. When we were talking about, you know, getting a second set of eyes on stuff, I for one don't want an open septic sewer in my backyard.
Only if you're raising chickens, but
God, that again. So Spiranis has been taking a stand for years against the city of Cape Coral. Back in November 2013, a code enforcement officer attempted to evict her for living without utilities. The city's argument is that the International Property Maintenance Code was violated by her reliance on rainwater rather than paying the city for water. The IPMC also would make it a crime for her to use solar panels instead of being tied to the electric grid. It was a mental fist fight, Todd Allen, Spiranis' attorney, said regarding Etskin's review of the case. There's an inherent conflict in the code. Allen said that at this point, the argument is just that Spiranis must hook up to the grid even if she doesn't use utilities from it. Spiranis explains that she has won two of three counts already, and that there's still a big fight ahead of her. But what happens in the courtroom is much less important than touching people's hearts and minds, she explained. We think that we are continuing to be successful in doing just that, and I'm pleased. So there's hope. The next morning, as I took my 2-hour walk, there was a young man unknown to me who drove by, tooted his horn, and said, "Robin, congratulations on your victory yesterday. Keep up the fight, and God bless you." Yeah,
super
that
hippie.
Yeah, that happened. local press newspaper said that Eskin admitted the code might be obsolete. Reasonableness and code requirements always don't go hand in hand, given societal and technical changes that require review of code ordinances, Eskin told the paper. He argues, however, that he has an obligation to enforce the code. Still, he acknowledges that some of the charges against her are unfounded. "I am in compliance," Spiranis said in an interview with the local news press. I'm in compliance of living. You may have to hook up, but you don't have to use it. Well, what's the point? Spiranis has been living off, or has long been living off the grid. The city didn't seem to even notice until she publicly discussed her home with Liza Fernandez, a local news reporter. After that appearance, a code enforcement officer designated her home as uninhabitable and gave her an eviction notice. In March, at a code compliance hearing before Eskin, Spiranis was a no-show, so she didn't show up to court. Local WTSP10 News reports her company, Off the Grid Inc., is in a litany of violations. Out of 48 violations, Spiranis has previously been found guilty of 45. There's been no appeal or movement to comply. So in other words, she either doesn't know about them or is ignoring them. We will continue to use due process and legal measures available to enforce the codes of the city, Connie Barron, spokesman for the city of Cape Coral, said. The building official has pulled the certificate of occupancy. This was the next step we decided to take in bringing the property into compliance. Legally, she cannot be in the house. And Barron acknowledges that it is unusual for the city to escalate a case to this level. Even if they board up the house, I'm not leaving, Speranos explains. They did the best they could when they took my dogs and arrested me. Wait, they took her dogs?
Guilty to animals.
Dogs need power, too.
International property maintenance code is still being used by cities throughout the United States and Canada. Yeah, that's the whole story. But
anybody want to have a hazard, like a quick guess at how long the international body for fucking property maintenance has been around?
I'm going to go 1825.
Oh, I think you need to go a little bit higher, Madman.
What, like 10 years?
Just pull it up. I saw it a minute ago. Hold one sec. 1996.
Huh.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's a model code, so cities are adopting it as they go.
Yeah, it's 61 pages of bureaucracy. I'm just thumbing through it now, real quick. A lot of it seems to deal with human waste and proper disposal of it, fire safety recommendations, and egressing a property.
But yeah, so they've basically. So here's the question, though. This article is obviously approaching it from the city won't let you live off the grid. You know, panic.
I think
that's what's really going on here? Or do you think it's something else?
Well, I think Madman might be onto something if she's not disposing of her waste properly. Because I'm looking at a lot of these codes. They're not that vague. They're pretty cut and dry. You know, don't have a fire hazard. Don't have more than, you know, set amount of occupants per fucking square feet in a house.
I'm wondering what they're considering a fire hazard and how she's living off the grid. Like I said, if she has a septic tank and she's not hooked up to city water, fine. She's not dumping raw sewage into her local environment. She's fine there. Collecting rainwater? She's fine there.
So the article talks about her living off rainwater and using solar panels, but that's all it really says.
Well, I looked up her name and I found it on Bloomberg, and it looks like, just from a couple of blurbs I'm scanning through right now, she has a camp toilet. Like one of those compost toilets, which might actually mean that she's dumping her shit in the backyard.
Yeah, because they're not a long-term solution.
And that would be the issue.
Yeah. My thing is why do they call it the International Property Maintenance Code? Maintenance Code, yeah.
Is it being used in more than one country? They said it's also cited in Canada.
I would also see, like, could this be used in Cambodia?
If they decided to adopt it.
I mean, there are a lot. I don't like the word international to start with. I'd like to see it a localized council thing.
I see Cycros has a point in the chat room. He's saying the lack of city water could be a fire issue if there's a drought. I could see
that. To my understanding, Americans have to provide themselves their own fire insurance, don't you? If you don't pay your fire insurance or your fire code or whatever it is, the fire department just won't even put your house out if it's on fire.
That's wrong.
That's something different.
Fire insurance covers your house. If your house catches on fire, it rebuilds it for you. The fire department just shows up and puts your house out.
Now, I suppose if you owe some... I know the story you're thinking of, are you? There was an article where some local town tried to impose a specific tax for the fire department, and the guy was refusing to pay it, and his house burned down.
And the fire department stood there and watched it burn.
But that was a local city issue. That wasn't...
Okay.
But yeah, they did. They stood there and watched it burn. Although I guess this is technically a local city issue too. I don't know. I think it's weird that they're evicting. I mean, I think you're probably right about the sewage issue, but they're actually evicting her for, you know, they're treating it like it's illegal to live off the grid. So I don't know if this is, you know, people hyping it up, which I think is more likely, or if there's really a city out there going, no, no, we have to have a record of everybody. You can't live off the grid.
I think it's people hyping it up because there's a lot of, this is how you legally live off the grid, and Alaska's big on it, Montana's big on it. Micro houses and somewhat off the grid stuff are getting big in some major cities like Chicago. And that's just because their grid's getting taxed.
Right.
And by tax, I don't mean you're paying for it. I mean it's feeling strained.
It's overextended.
Yeah.
In the article that I'm reading, so she was living in an RV for a while, sold off all of her crap. The land her RV was on flared out. She stopped paying her rent and surprisingly got evicted. Went fire sale on the rest of her shit, bought the house that she's in now. She removed and sold the oven, refrigerator, air conditioning units, and the ducting. The house is already technically off the grid, as an earlier resident had been stealing municipal power, and the city had cut the lines and removed the meters. First, subsisted primarily on a year's supply of dried and canned food she'd bought while she had the RV. She drank and bathed in rainwater, filling a 4-gallon solar-heated camp shower. Her only connection to city services was the sewer. She flushed waste down the toilet again with rainwater. Oh. So apparently she has a shitter hookup.
So yeah, but no running water to use it.
So what this really is this is a city that has unfortunately used the court system, which could impose a precedent, to try to take care of a crazy lady living on, you know, living out like a bum.
Yeah, it's like, you can't be a hobo in my town.
Yeah. Okay, so we got to the crux of the story. The first story we found seemed to be a little bit biased towards the homeowner, one would say now.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
it turns
it
out we're dealing with a fucking 38 cat lady.
You know, so
or may not be dealing meth out of a fucking trailer on an easement.
So my initial thinking when grabbing the story was that one, we could have fun with it, which is why I went ahead and went with the bias source. 38 dog. Yeah, she said dogs in the article. Are you? It was the 38 dog lady, and they took my dogs.
So technically, the town shitheel that was bringing down fucking property prices. You know, they have no other way to deal with her at this point other than the court system. And yeah. She's grasping at straws for fucking anything of sympathy.
Yeah, so it says here that Kate Coral argued that it has nothing against Speranos living off-grid, only with the way she's done so. There are an awful lot of alternatives out there to meet code, said Frank Cassidy, the city's code compliance division manager. Problem is, she's not using those methods. He ticked off a litany of municipal resources for cisterns, composting toilets, retrofit grants, equipment, housing assistance, programs to sell excess power to the grid. The city has the health and welfare and safety of all of its citizens to consider. But the city council member for Speranos district, but there also comes a point where you got to do what you got to do to protect the integrity of the system. So yeah, it sounds like she's a crazy hippie living in a shack that she's pretty much gutted on the inside.
So
yeah, so she stripped the copper and shit out from meth.
Yeah,
and she's cooking on a Coleman propane stove inside the house.
Yeah, that
got a propane lantern hanging from the ceiling, disconnected sink.
Yeah, she's just waiting to die in a fire.
So here's the
fire will solve that town's problem. Just saying.
So here's the thing. The reason I wanted to talk about this article is because the way the economy's going and the way the slavery of America, right? I think you're going to see more people pulling this shit, especially when you have people who can work on the internet all day long, and if you live close enough to a restaurant or hotel that's got the open Wi-Fi. Well, you don't even pay for ISP, right? So I'm wondering how long before we just start seeing people who live, I don't know, off their Patreon account and being horribly offended on the internet all day long. You know, and they're technically living off the grid, you know, hobo style.
Oh, she's a real freaking peach, though, too. As I'm reading more of this story, she was flushing waste into the sewer with rainwater without paying for using the sewer system. So the city moved against her, and showed up at her house, dug up the front yard, capped her access to the sewer, and they filed a complaint against her with the Florida Department of Health, alleging that she was cheating or creating a health hazard by spreading her waste on the lawn. Jeez. Which turned out to be untrue, because she was using the camp toilet with detachable bags that she was tossing into the garbage system. Which was a code violation, but not one the city was going after her for. City officials began to leak information about her troubled past to the press. In 2009, she had a felony conviction stemming from the theft of a real estate client's home deposit money. She attributes it to a banking error caused by the stress of caring for her sick husband, but pleaded guilty and gave up her real estate license and was placed on probation. She had an animal cruelty conviction, failing to provide for her dogs with adequate food and water. She says, the animal welfare people didn't understand her natural methods.
Oh, yeah, she made her fucking animals vegan.
Probably, yes.
Oh, jeez.
God damn it.
The rabbit hole goes deeper, and it's probably full of her composted waste.
Yeah, look, I'm not a fan of local bureaucracy, but go at it, local municipality. Fucking get rid of that piece of shit.
Oh, can you think of hitting the compact button on the truck that picked up her trash?
Oh, oh Madman, stop. I'm still not completely over that stomach issue.
Oh. That's who brought it to their attention right now, the trash guy. He's like, I'm only smelling this once. We gotta get the cops involved.
So this was a little bit more of an IHN story than a decking story, but that's okay.
Oh, I'd actually say did a good turn pulling that story apart and actually getting to the crux of it. At first, I was like sympathetic to the woman. Like, how dare they fuck with her like that? Now I'm like, burn the witch.
I'm pulling up like two completely different sides of the story. I mean, I went for Bloomberg on this one, but like pulling up her name, there's a ton of articles on her. And yeah, most of it seems this bitch is crazy.
Yeah. I mean, you've turned me around. I was all for it at first, and yeah. Burn the witch. Get her out of town.
That's funny. All right, let's see. Next article is from CNN.com. A little bit more of a reliable source on this one. However, the article is much... well...
Did you say reliable source, CNN, in the same fucking sentence?
You notice I stopped the sentence and couldn't, I was trying not to laugh.
I think you did say a bit more, so more reliable than the previous source.
Make me go get that lady too in front of me.
Oh, fuck.
All right. So, let me get the dramatic chipmunk sound here. Here we go. We've got that ready to go. We're going to need that in the reading of this one. This is from CNN.com. An extortion case involving bikini-clad models, social media celebrities, and racy images has sparked an intriguing legal debate over phone security and the Fifth Amendment. The big question, can authorities access potentially incriminating information on your phone by compelling you to reveal the passcode, or is access to your phone secrets protected under the Constitution? The answer, at least in this case, is that phone passcodes are not protected, a judge ruled Wednesday. The case stems from the arrest of Heinrich Voigt, V-O-I-G-T. Voigt?
Henschevoigt.
Henschevoigt? Okay. The arrest of Henschevoigt, 29, and her then-boyfriend, Wesley Victor, 34, last July on charges of extortion. Voigt and Victor threatened to release sexually explicit videos and photos of social media star Yes Jules unless she paid them off, according to Miami Police Department report. Both Voigt and Yes Jules are big names on social media. Voigt is a fitness model. Say what?
I've never heard of him. Exactly.
I have no idea who these people are. But
attention whores.
If you look at the pictures, I give them what? A year before Brazzers? Anyways.
Oh, you're being generous. I'm thinking like by the weekend at least. The casting couch in their future.
Is that a tranny?
I'm just looking
at the article now. It looks like a tranny.
I don't know, to truth be told. Voigt is a fitness model and Instagram celebrity who starred last fall on WAGS Miami. an e-reality TV show about the wives and girlfriends of sports figures in South Beach. Because, you know, the world's not shallow enough. Yes, Jules, 27, whose real name is Juliana Goddard, is a party promoter, jet setter, and social media marketer. They left out EDM DJ. I'm sure she's one of those as well. Who was described as Snapchat royalty in a profile last year in the New York Times Magazine. As part of the ongoing investigation into the case,
prosecutors and I'm getting told not to come back to the community senator for 30 days. God damn it. What do you do for a living? Well, I'm a professional Snapchatter.
Get out.
Just wait. I gotta go. Just get out.
Okay. Let's be really real here for a minute. I know we might have been a little mean earlier with the Brazzers comment, but you look at the photo that CNN now is using of these two women. What do you think the big draw on social media is for these two women?
Damn titties.
Transvestites are looking more and more like women.
Seriously. I mean, that's what it is, right?
Oh, the first one, don't get me wrong, I think
they're just pissed off. These lewd pics are getting out there and they're not being able to shill a bunch of neckbeards for all their, like, money on live cam to try to take a little piece of that.
Ding, ding, murder. Ding. Give that man a dollar. You just fucking nailed it. My vagina has value. If I can't sell it, nobody can.
As part of the ongoing
investigation... Please take a chainsaw to it.
As part of the ongoing investigation in the case, prosecutors have sought to search Boyk's and Victor's phones and asked a judge to order the two to give up their phone passcodes. Attorneys for the two suspects have pushed back, arguing the passcodes are equivalent to self-incriminating testimony that is protected under the Fifth Amendment. They're asking for passcodes so they can keep on searching what's on the phone, which may be incriminating my client, and then using that against her. Kirch Coins, Boyk's attorney, told CNN. The broader question of passcode security in the Fifth Amendment has become a hot issue at the center of many criminal trials, according to Joshua J. Horowitz, an attorney specializing in technology-related litigation. This is definitely a question that is percolating in the lower courts and will eventually make its way up to the Supreme Court, Horowitz said. Until it does, there's no real clear answer on this issue. So, in text messages last July, Boyk and Victor allegedly told Goddard to pay $18,000 in cash within 24 hours. That's a weird number to come up with. You know, normally it's like a nice round $20,000 or $15,000. $18,000.
How'd they get the pictures in the first place?
$18,000 sounds like someone's got their eye on a nice used Honda.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. I don't know. Catch them at a pool party or just, you know, I don't know, record.
Yeah, they probably like left themselves logged into their Facebook account or some shit like that on like a public terminal.
I got an article on that later, but that's okay.
They're professional Insta whores. Do you think they're gonna fucking have any brain matter? Like, they're listing their career as fucking Snapchat celebrity. The fuck is Jesus, man? I know I shouldn't get worked up about this stuff, but God damn, that pisses me off.
$18,000 in cash within 24 hours or they would release these sexually explicit videos and photos, according to a police report. You can have them back, as I said, you dope chick, Victor said in a text message, according to the police report. I like your movement. Look, if I feel any fun business, game over, your choice. Punctuation, man.
They're not English-speaking people that have stolen this.
Boyk and Victor were arrested the same day while sitting in a vehicle. Authorities obtained the cell phones believed to use in the scheme. According to Miami police, four phones in all were recovered, including three from Victor, drug dealer.
Victor sells cocaine.
Boyk and Victor were both charged with extortion, conspiracy to commit extortion, and unlawful use of a communications device, according to a criminal docket. That's a thing? Unlawful use of communications device is a thing?
Yeah.
I think that's a law that needs to be repealed.
Well, let's do stolen phones, stuff like that.
Yeah. Let's see. According to the criminal document, they have pleaded not guilty. So, prosecutors have obtained text messages that were sent to Goddard, but have been unable to bypass the passcodes on the suspects' phones, Boyk's iPhone and Victor's BlackBerry. You're rocking a BlackBerry and you're on the party scene in Miami? Really?
Yeah, something says spook.
Victor's back ready to search for more evidence. As such, prosecutors filed a motion asking a circuit court judge to compel the defendants to give their passwords to the authorities. So I guess they weren't disputing ownership of the phones. Voight's attorney, has opposed the last request. He told CNN compelling a defendant to divulge a passcode in their head was a slippery slope in the legal arena. I think it's a new frontier, he said. I do believe that it's eroding the rights that they are guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution. Victor's attorney, dear God, Zelcha Bronzanak, I think I said that right. It's like a bad in 80s Mother cartoon Russia with these phone names. Hack you.
All right, so as retarded as the premise of these people are and this story, the underlying thing of the courts being able, or the, you know, immigration or anyone else, like, hey, I need the password for your phone so I can make sure that you're not, you know, Snapchatting with Bin Laden or some shit, is fucking retarded.
Well, dude, I want a phone that can communicate with Bin Laden. Motherfucker's been dead for years.
So the crux of it is they're not disputing ownership of the phones. They're saying that you're compelling testimony, which you're not allowed to do unless you give immunity, because you can't be compelled to testify against yourself. So, but a judge on Wednesday ruled on behalf of prosecutors and ordered Voight and Victor to give up their phone passwords, according to Bronzak, Victor's attorney. The ruling was based on a recent decision in the Florida Court of Appeals that ordered a man suspected of taking illicit photos up women's skirts to give up his four-digit passcode to authorities. Bronzak said she wasn't surprised the judge rules against her client, given the limited case law. His hands were tied, she said. Once you have a decision from another court of appeals, you have to follow it. She said she believed this case would reach the Supreme Court sooner or later, but in the meantime, suspects seeking to protect information on their phones would be impacted by Wednesday's ruling. However, Bronzak also said Victor did not remember his phone password, so the ruling may not impact this case specifically. I would have forgotten mine pretty quick, too. What'd you say?
Cough, cough, bullshit.
Yeah. I don't remember it now. All the stress of this situation and my lack of vodka. At the end of the day, I know he won't be able to produce a password, Bronzak said. You can't compel somebody to say something they don't have.
Salem witch trials and all that jazz. You can totally compel people to say bullshit thing under torture and duress, but anyway.
Yeah, that president is already bolted.
So here's the thing. We both know the real reason that this is the article they're talking about the phone passcodes for is so that the author could Google pictures of these women on Snapchat.
What would that author's name be?
Eric Levinson.
Awesome.
And RU goes to work.
I mean, this is just a symptomatic story of what's going on. Vacuous succubuses on the internet trying to make money out of their fucking sour milk aging fucking vaginas. Now, let's face it, by the time these people are... Yeah, exactly. Just trying to cash in before it does hang like sleeve of wizard.
Oh, jeez.
Hey, he said it. I just followed it up.
So... anyways, I don't like the idea of the courts being able to compel you to give up a phone passcode. And the reasoning, well, one, what if, you know, they found some phone in your, like, if they found an old phone, right? You might have legitimately forgotten the passcode. So, you know, by the time they're taking the the car battery and the jumper cables to your balls trying to get you to give up a password, you might have legitimately forgotten it. But, I mean, we've talked about this before. Can't they compel you to give up, like, keys to a safe and stuff like that?
They can compel you to give up keys to a safe, unlock your door, let you search your house.
What about the combination to a safe? I know they usually just drill it, but...
You know, in safes, if they didn't comply with the combination, it was just drilled, and then the stuff inside was... submitted as evidence.
Yeah.
Same thing with combination locks. You can pop it open or we can cut it. But the only time that it's really been an issue is with things that are encrypted. Because
they actually can't cut that, yeah.
Cool. You can sit until we finally crack the cell phone. Are you being released with bail, or are you being held without bail?
Well, and now, but this does raise the question of, what if they've decided that a phone is yours and it's not? I don't know. Let's just pick a crazy scenario. Mad Men. You know, you use phones that look like they might be burners.
you,
that's just some of them are.
You know, you happen to leave one of those. I don't know. You happen to leave one of those over at RU's place. They arrest RU, grab that phone, and then, you know, tell RU, look, we're going to be taking the jumper cables to your balls unless you tell us the passcode to your phone. And you're like, that's not my phone. I don't have a phone. Fuck you. They're going to sit there and torture him or keep him in contempt of court for something he literally cannot produce.
Yeah, torture would be a very strong word in that situation.
Well, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but in all honesty, prove that I don't know something, or prove that I do know something.
Yeah.
And prove that I know the passcode. Possession is kind of proof of ownership in a lot of cases. You have that issue with drugs in cars.
Yeah.
I'm getting stoned in your car and I leave my weed. It's in your car. You own my weed.
Yeah, but I mean, with the instance of a phone, it's like, prove that I know the passcode to that phone. I don't think, you know, I don't remember it. I don't. Or it's not my phone. I don't know the passcode. And you're fine. You're in contempt of court till you give us the code.
On that, the argument, not my phone, hopefully you have a good lawyer, because then you're not really in contempt. You're contesting ownership of the phone. They'd have to try to find a way to, I guess, beyond you having it, prove that it's yours. And depending on how it was purchased, that's possible. We do actually register the serial numbers on a lot of those. You just need to track down which store sold it, track down possibly the date it was purchased and how it was paid for. I've had to help some universities and police track down payments and stuff on things before.
So, like I said, I just feel like that could have some impact if.
Wow. Sorry, wow. I just read one of the most interesting lines I've ever read. Self-described transitional feminist. Fuck is that?
I don't know what that means.
I don't know either, and I'm getting scared.
I think it means coral snake, run away.
Yeah, I'm back now. The reporter actually seems rather clean compared to most online reporters. I mean, he's not guilty of just puff piece after puff piece. Someone's probably told him to do that piece.
I think Morp's has the only real valid issue is contesting ownership of the phone, and then are you being forced to take ownership of a phone that's not yours? These guys aren't contesting that.
Well, this is why I practice waterboarding twice a week. That way it comes down to it, and they're waterboarding my wife, I know exactly what's happening. Fuck, I ain't taking the waterboarding, I do it to her.
Deer's training.
Exactly. I don't know, like, that is going to be a huge issue. It's not my hard drive. That's Bob's hard drive.
Then why are you having Bob's hard drive in your house, sir?
Well, we had a LAN party. He must have left it here, Your Honor. I don't know.
Hopefully
what's on
Bob's
it.
A stand-up guy, because it's yours.
Oh, no, I met Bob down the pub 2 weeks ago. That's the only thing I know about him. He came to my LAN party. It was fun.
Oh, yeah, you're fucked.
How many times have you met people at parties that the host didn't really know who they were? They just came with someone?
Yeah, the problem is, if it's in your possession, it's considered yours. So at that point, it's your prerogative to disprove that it's yours.
Well, that's it. If I, as Morp said, if I can't tell you the password, I can't tell you the fucking password. You know, zapping my testicles only goes so far to me going, I don't know.
Yeah.
Or going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, trying to guess the dude's password.
1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. Lois? Damn.
Yep.
All right, let's, I mean, you know, and as goofy as this story is, it is an issue of,
you know, that
police are collecting phones. Because if you really do have the scum of the earth and the government's not, I mean, okay, it's much fun as it is to talk about being the dissident and being persecuted by the man. I like to think that the majority of people the government arrests are actually guilty of something.
I'd like to
think
that too.
I might be being a little bit naive here, but you know, and that's
cops aren't asses for the most part. They're arresting people that have committed a crime.
Yeah. So it does raise the issue of, you know, if the data they need is locked up in these devices and encrypted. I mean, I usually come back to the go back to doing police work, try harder, but there are legitimately issues where people, the only computing device they have is an iPhone. And, you know, the Apple encryption is actually pretty good. So, what do you do?
Well, this is it. Do you go down the road of thumbprint encryption, things like that, to prove that it's not yours?
Yeah.
I don't know. Thumbprints, I don't have a problem with compelling, because that's something you are.
Yeah, but I mean, if it's not your phone, you put your thumb on it, doesn't register, it's still locked, the cops can't. You know,
that's
it's not
just
yours.
Mandating that everyone has thumbprint encryption on your phone.
Well, is that the world we're heading towards? You know, where I'm going to be using the latex thumb that I bought off, you know, Amazon to start encrypting my shit as plausible deniability?
Or, you know,
they don't know you didn't use your thumb for the encryption.
And then there's the other question of, you know, the argue question of, I don't have a phone, officer.
Yeah, it doesn't
bullshit,
fly.
You don't have a phone.
Everybody's
got a phone. So, I don't know. You start running into issues with that, right? So,
I think, as I said, that issue with the courts was just the first. Definitely reckon we're going to have massive issues in the future.
It comes down to, is it compelling testimony?
Well, you're divulging something that only exists in your head, theoretically.
Then so, right now, as the law stands, you can't be forced to testify.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
it sucks. A lot of people might get off, but if you can't be forced to testify, I guess you can't. I wonder how they would do an exception. Like, you can be forced to testify only with passwords.
Yeah, that seems stupid.
But, yeah.
Because you run into oddball situations where we've determined this to be a password, even though it's really not, you know. So, that seems like you're going to run into issues. You know what? Cycross has got the right answer in there. It's better that the guilty go free than the innocent man gets held, so. Yeah, that's the quote, right? A guilty man goes free, or it's better that a guilty man goes free rather than to hold an innocent man? Is that what it is?
It's rather that 100 guilty men go free than one innocent man.
Yeah, something like that. I think you're mad, man. So, anyways.
In this case, it's not really that. If he released the passcode, it would prove his innocence.
If he's innocent, yeah. Which obviously he's not, because he doesn't want to give up the passcode. Which, you're not supposed to make that kind of inference when somebody is, you know, pleading not, you know, self, you know, I don't want to be forced to self-incriminate. So you're not supposed to make that assumption. But that is kind of what's implied. Anyways, moving on. Next article is from CNET, and Microsoft being, you know, up to shenanigans again. On May 2nd, Microsoft held an event to launch a new education-focused version of its Windows 10 operating system that can run on ultra-cheap laptops. Windows 10 S is a locked down version of Windows 10 Pro. Microsoft made it crystal clear you can only install apps from the Windows App Store on Windows S systems, and if you want to breach its walled garden, you have to upgrade to Pro. The company also went out of its way to say that you could use third-party web browsers like Chrome and Firefox, but you'd get a better experience with its own Edge browser.
Bullshit.
Yeah. In light of a Verge's discovery, simply by looking at the Windows 10 S FAQ, you can't change the default browser from Edge. You can install the other browsers, but you cannot change it from Edge. Or even change the default search engine from Bing. So the actual quote from the FAQ. Microsoft Edge is the default web browser on Windows 10 S. You are able to download another browser that might be available from the Windows Store, but Microsoft Edge will remain the default, for example, if you open an HTML file. Additionally, the default search engine provider in Edge and Internet Explorer cannot be changed. Also note that elsewhere in the FAQ, it clarifies on search Microsoft Edge, Internet Explorer, default Bing, and designated regional search providers. So, yeah, Microsoft has started the push to lock down what you can do with the operating systems, and they're starting with the cheapy versions. They've actually done this before.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is a lot like, Windows 7 Basic?
Yeah, it is.
I'm going to point out, didn't it cost more to lock it down?
Yes. Yes, it did.
How the fuck is it the cheapy version? Fucking crack addicts.
Because they're trying to... Well, it's not that they want you to actually upgrade
your
to Pro and
install
whatever
you
want. What they want is they want to get people using the Windows 10 Store. So they're trying to create the same ecosystem that you have on Android and iOS, where it's a walled garden. Well, it's not entirely true on Android. It's fairly easy to unlock those. But as they come from the store most of the time, you know, you can only install stuff from Google Play. On iOS, you can only install things from the Apple Store. And hence, these stores are usually extremely successful. So Microsoft wants to get in on that action, so they're trying to sell laptops that are locked down to just the Windows Store. And since they can't seem to get people to keep using Edge, or, you know, Edge walks up and asks, "What is my purpose?" And instead of telling it that you fetch butter, it's you fetch Chrome or you fetch Firefox. So, you know, that's your job. Install another browser. But, yeah, so it's not the first time they've done this crap, but they don't want, like I said, they don't want you upgrading to Pro. They want to lock down Windows to just the store, and you use our browser and you use our software. And it's so they can collect their telemetry. It's so that they can collect, so that they can say they have a user base for their browsers, because they don't right now. They're still trying to recapture the whole Internet Explorer 6 thing, where IE was the most used browser, and most websites were written against the Microsoft standards, not the open standards, which that's largely going away with HTML5. So, in all seriousness, if you're not doing games or using specialized software, what can you do on a Windows machine that you cannot do on a Mac or a Linux machine, just common everyday computing?
Nothing. The only reason a lot of people are on Windows is they want to play games. Some businesses have specialized software, but a lot of reasons
most
are on Macs are for a lot of that.
Most specialized software is on the web these days. Everything's got a web browser. Hell, we're back to the other article, people who live only on phones. Why even get a laptop anymore? So, you know, they're trying to stay relevant, and they're trying to turn themselves into another lockdown mobile operating system, and I think it's annoying. So, I'm just looking
at
my options.
I just think it's unnecessary, because they're already relevant. Gripe as they want, Windows is still the most used operating system.
Well, that was because that, I think that's simply because most people don't know that there are other options.
Yeah,
possibly. And so long as they're the most used operating system, they're going to have a few markets locked down. I'm going to be on Windows until I fall over dead because video games come out on Windows. The reason it comes out on Windows, it's the most used operating system. If they just keep that, they're good.
You know, I kind of wonder if Microsoft has the if they've split up the divisions inside their company such that like they make an absurd amount of money from Office 365. They make an absurd amount of money from the business licensing, where they're, you know, doing the large scale volume licensing for Windows Server, for the workstation, you know, editions of, you know, Windows 10 Enterprise or even Windows 7 Enterprise previously. You know, of course, Office. They make absurd amounts of money selling these licenses. They make absurd amounts of money on the Xbox division. They make absurd amounts of money on some of their web properties. But not on all of their web properties. So I kind of wonder if they've got divisions that run the Microsoft Store, if they've got divisions that handle the telemetry data, if they've got divisions that handle Bing. And because they can't seem to, you know, those divisions can't seem to get their profit margins up, even though they're propped up by the rest of the company making absurd amounts of money. I wonder if, because those individual divisions aren't making money, you know, like they're being forced to compete. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That may be what's going on, and I think that might hurt them if they don't look at the whole more, because they don't need to make money off of everything if they're just keeping people using their product, because then they'll just make shit tons of money off the things they make shit tons of money off of. They were giving away their browser for how long when people used to charge for those?
Yeah.
That was one of their greatest business decisions ever.
Yeah, Mozilla used to cost money. You're right.
This is free.
So did Opera, for that matter.
Didn't that end up costing them a ton in court for anti-business practices or something?
Anti-piracy.
Yeah, they started bundling Internet Explorer and Mozilla brought a antitrust.
That was it.
Hey, what if they're just trying to keep up, you know, price wise? You know, like, oh, I can go and buy this Chromebook, you know, pretty much a bare bones stripped down Google Chrome only laptop for super cheap, or I can get a Windows operating system for the same price. And they're just trying to edge it on that market, or
yeah, well, they've done that before where they had the Windows 8 with Bing or whatever it was, where basically Microsoft was giving the license away for any laptop that cost less than $200 and had some hardware restrictions, like on how much RAM it could have and stuff like that. So again, this is not new for Microsoft. It's just they're getting a little bit obvious with it, you know, in the lockdown, you know?
They're just getting envious of those that are already doing it, and I don't know if it's just we're used to it, but do we crap on iOS enough and Android enough, because they've already done what Microsoft's attempting to do.
Yeah, I give Apple shit all the time, don't I? Maybe not so much lately.
Well, I think I just want to give Apple shit now, so I'm fair. You suck.
I think it's not a lot of us use Apple as our everyday carry, if you know what I mean.
I have in the past.
Android didn't ever do it, so they're not doing the Android Store thing?
No, Android does it. Google Play does it. But the thing with Android is it's extremely easy to root the phone or install alternative. It's a menu option. Install software from third parties, and then you can go install other software stores or just go download APKs off the internet.
Oh. So, yeah, third-party rep pros. Okay, so they're doing the same thing Windows is doing. They're just sucking at it.
No, their store is quite successful. They just... their phones don't, you can throw them in developer mode and load whatever you want on them. You don't have to sideload software. You don't actually have to root an Android phone. And in fact, most of the phones to the point now, you don't really need to root them to get a lot of the features. You used to have to root them to do some of the theme work and stuff like that, but most of it nowadays, it's just go download it off a third-party source or sideload what you need, or hell, half the shit's in the Play Store. So the only real reason to still root the phone is if you're doing low-level stuff, or if you're doing some of the more interesting operating system hacks, or if you're wanting to pirate software. Which I don't recommend, because you have the same problem you have with, pirate software on any platform, is that most of it
pre-owned.
It's pre-owned. They're pre-pwned, it would be the correct way to say it, actually. But, anyways, Let's move on to this next one. I dealt with this one a little bit. It is from The Verge, but this story's been all over the place. So this is fantastic. I don't even really need the article to explain it because I was dealing with it a good bit yesterday. There was a particularly successful Google phishing attack that went around that somebody built a third-party app that accepted authentication through Google OAuth. You see third-party websites that want to use your Google account all the time, right? So this was one of those, but they did a really good job of making it look like Google Docs and named it Google Docs. And if you clicked the link, you would get a box saying Google Docs is asking for permission to use your account. So a lot of people trusted this third-party app that was quote-unquote Google Docs. It was just simply named that. And they did a good job making it look like that. And so what this application did was it collected an OAuth token. You have to kind of know how OAuth works a little bit. A short version on anything that supports OAuth, if you give it permission. Okay, better example. You use your Google account and give something permission to hit it. Say a web page, forum, whatever, right? Or Facebook. I think Facebook does it too. The Google or Facebook service will generate a application specific password to your account. These things are usually, you know, like 128 characters, fairly gnarly, and that password is only good with a application key. So the application presents its application key and then the token it generated for your account. And so that's how it can get in and get your account. So anybody who's ever installed a third-party app on Twitter, same thing. These tokens are a password to your account, but it's not your password. You know what I mean? It's just a token. So that's what this thing was collecting. And it was using these to dump your address book and then send the fake Google Docs link to everybody on your contact list. And then delete all the spam after you sent it. So, you know, it was harder to see what was going on. They were trying to collect as many Google accounts as they could. Now, OAuth was working correctly, so Google simply invalidated their key, which, you know, means a ton of people don't have to go change their password. But if you clicked on the link and your account was sending the spam, it'd probably be a good idea to change your password anyways, just in case, and go check out all of your OAuth authorizations. But
One might say clever girl.
Yeah, you could say clever girl. Because they named it Google Docs, and apparently Google allows this.
So. Yeah, I was like, fucking obvious much, but it worked. You can't really be mad at him. He's sort of like, well, it worked.
But the
I'm impressed.
The domain he was using to run this application, which fooled a lot of people, because if you look at it, it was the email address was eugenepupov@gmail.com, and the URL was https://googledocs.docscloud.info/g.php. So that URL looks pretty good.
It does.
It's like, damn. So
someone didn't just do this when they were drunk, morps.
No, they
didn't. You know what I mean?
Work.
Someone registered an account when they were sober, thinking about shit.
They probably came across it when they were drunk and then sobered up and realized what they could do with it.
And if you were, the thing is, if you were already logged into your Google account, which most people who use their Google accounts leave themselves logged in all the time, and because I don't like staying logged in all the time, I'm always unchecking it, and Google tries to keep itself logged in even when you log out, so it's kind of a pain in the ass like that. But so if you were logged in, you just get the box that says Google Docs wants to, do you want to allow Google Docs to access your account so that you can see the document? But what are most people going to click? Yes. You know, that's the bad part about UAC and all this other shit, is that you get to get trained just to accept, allow, whatever, yes, yes. And, so you get shit like this.
I would kind of wonder why the hell are you wanting me to open up a document when I'm not looking at documents right now?
Oh, well, the idea is you clicked a link in an email saying Google Docs, so somebody such and such shared a document with you. But like I said, I did some digging on this myself yesterday before the article was going out what it was, and it was pretty cool seeing a whole bunch of articles validating the same thing I saw. So it's like, ooh, cool. I actually know what I'm doing. So
I'm trying to teach my wife at the moment, don't leave your computer open when you walk away from it.
Are you Hasselhoffing her?
I haven't taken it up that level, but I've started out with the analogy. Yes, I understand, just because you need to use it really quickly every now and then. It's not like you're leaving the car on in the garage. You know, don't do that. It's not practical. Someone can just take it. But we will be moving up to the level of Hasselhoffing next week. Then Rickrolling. And then we may have to seek some guided influence from B.
Oh, before you do that, set her homepage to hornymanatee.com. Everyone should see.
I've already done the classic I learned from Fox, who is the take a picture of the screen, then replace everything on the screen with the screen, with a picture of the screen. So, yeah, they're clicking around trying to get shit to open and nothing opens.
That's a classic.
It's a good one, but some people need to learn. Or just go on a lot of conferences and stuff like that, and they need laptops, and people have accidentally been using other people's laptops, and they're like, oh, but I thought that was my laptop, because they all use, like, Toshiba notebooks and shit like that. They can't tell whose is who.
This is why you go get this nice collection of stickers and put them all over the back of your laptop. You can tell that this is how you're supposed to do it, because you see this all the time when you go to Linux and hacker conferences.
Being government authorized machines, they can't actually alter them that way.
No. Government authorized machines, people put stickers on the back of those all the time too, but they're usually their business card with the password written in fucking Sharpie on it. I'm not bitter.
We solved that problem. The SpongeBob SquarePants Band-Aid over the fish lens seems to be working as an identifier.
I like it.
Oh, it's also a conversation starter.
I like it. So, all right, next article up is from the AP. Facebook is ramping up its response to violent videos. Facebook is stepping up its efforts to keep inappropriate and often violent material, including recent high-profile videos of murders and suicides, hate speech, and extremist propaganda. Hang on, I need the button. Off its site. On Wednesday, the world's biggest social network said it plans to hire 3,000 more people to review videos and other posts after getting criticized for not responding quickly enough to murders shown on its service. The hires over the next year will be at the top, or will be on top of the 4,500 people Facebook already tasks with identifying criminal and other questionable material for removal. CEO Mark Zuckerberg.
So you're telling me that there's a job where I can sit on my ass for 8 hours a day and watch YouTube?
Yep, and then you have to simply go into the... I'm sure they have some kind of a interface where you just go in and click, yep, snuff film, or whatever the hell it is people are live casting.
I have the power of life and death over what happens. I want this job.
Actually, I'm kind of wondering if they set it up like the, you know, like a security guard out of a cartoon with a big wall of monitors. You just have all the live streams going all the time, and you're just trying to look to see. It's like, okay, somebody's cats. Some kid's high school conference. Nice pair of tits. Oh, we're not supposed to do that. All right, flag the tits. Okay, inappropriate content for minors. That's a snuff film. Oh, God, that's a snuff film. What is he doing to that dog?
This is going to turn into post-traumatic stress disorder eventually.
New York anti-terrorism.
Didn't we talk about that for Microsoft?
Yes.
Yeah.
The New York anti-terrorism response center boasts that it can monitor 10,000 live feeds at one time.
Huh.
So I wonder if... anything like that? You have to watch like 10,000 fucking YouTube videos at once.
Boy, that drives me more nuts than watching snuff films all day long.
I'm thinking I'm going to need a lot of heroin, alcohol,
and lube.
Yeah, holy shit, that's a big bug.
Well, BRB. Get the lube. He's going to reenact that Foster's commercial. He's going to make art.
I figured he was going to go full of Starship Troopers. Afraid.
CEO Mark Zuckerberg.
Could be a brain bug.
CEO Mark Zuckerberg wrote Wednesday that the company is working to make these videos easier to report so we can take the right action sooner, whether that's responding quickly when somebody needs help or taking a post down. Oh, that's an interesting idea. Start live streaming on Facebook, you know, when you're being kidnapped or whatever. I didn't even consider that.
I get those likes somehow.
Facebook has had 18,770 employees at the end of March. Would not say if it had new hire. That's a lot of people. I didn't expect it to employ that many people. I figured Facebook was like a couple hundred developers and then maybe 1,000 or so functionaries. I didn't think it was that many people.
Imagine how many complaint tickets they get a day.
Oh my lord! You know, you're not
especially
wrong.
From like Triggered or you know.
This person offended me. What did they do? They said nice hair.
What do you think the percentage of the adult population of the world is on Facebook?
Oh geez, population of the world?
Yeah.
It's probably only like 30 or 40%.
That's still a shit ton of people, dude.
Yeah, and of like what? Isn't it like what's the population up to? 9 billion?
Like 7 billion.
I don't know what it's up to.
Yeah, it's a lot of complaints potentially. And then you're going to get complaints in how many different languages?
7.2 billion, according to Google.
Yeah. So then you're going to get complaints in multiple different languages, then, you know, all the different languages, and all different literacy capabilities.
Levels, yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, fair enough. I underestimated the size of Facebook.
I underestimated it too, but when you actually start sitting down and crunching the numbers in your head.
Oh, yeah.
You really start getting this overarching fucking, meanwhile, the Legion of Doom fucking thing.
Yeah, you really do.
You know, this is a specter.
Why did they have to paint it blue? It looked better gunmetal gray. Anyways, videos and posts that glorify violence, yet they kept it in the swamp. Videos and posts that glorify violence are against Facebook's rules, but Facebook has drawn criticism for responding slowly to such items, including a video of a slaying in Cleveland and the live stream killing of a baby in Thailand. Oh, damn. The Thailand
video. You didn't
see
that one?
No, I don't want to see that one.
There's another really good one today of murder of a crossdresser in probably shouldn't be talking about this. Anyway.
You know, you remember the Unabomber Manifesto? I'm beginning to think he might have had a point.
There's a lot more of this shit than you'd think goes on, Morps. Let's just say that.
I've been trying to avoid the darker parts of the internet, you know.
Oh, no, this shit is
written
to
point and laugh at it on this show than it is to actually dig through Tor.
And
this isn't even on
risen,
fucking Tor. This is Facebook.
Yeah, this has risen to the top like cream, my friend. Like, this is everyday occurrence.
So apparently the Thailand video was up for 24 hours before it was removed. In most cases, such material gets reviewed for possible removal only if users complain. News reports and posts that condemn violence are allowed. This makes a tricky balancing act for the company. Facebook does not want to act as a censor, but videos of violence, such as those documenting police brutality or horrors of war, can serve an important purpose. That's interesting examples you picked there, AP.
They don't want war videos going up?
No, they're saying that you don't want videos of violence, but police brutality and videos of war can serve important purposes.
Well, honestly, those are videos of violence that do serve important purposes.
Yeah, they're to inform.
That's true, but I'm thinking more like the Berkeley riots would have been a good example, too. But
oh, yeah, that would have been a good example, too.
Well, you say you want them taken off, or...
No, I'm saying I want them left up.
Yeah, I think so, too, and I think it... I mean, one of the
but
best
I think
approaches.
They did take those down. That's my point.
Yeah, one of the best approaches I think of a modern website for violence and things like that would be LiveLeak in its handling of jihadist beheading videos, where they said right when not showing them anymore, and the community was like, yeah, you only need to see so many, but there is a reference point that you can go to in their archives and watch them. They're just not going to be on the front page anymore because a lot of people have been watching it. And I'm for that. At first, I was like, it's censorship. But once you've seen one beheading, you've seen them all. Or most of them.
So, continuing the article here, policing live video streams is especially difficult as viewers don't know what will happen. This rawness is part of the appeal. But while the negative videos make headlines, they're just a tiny fraction of what users post every day. The good, families documenting a toddler's first steps for faraway relatives, journalists documenting news, musicians performing their fans, and people raising money for charities. We don't want to get rid of the positive aspects and the benefits of live streaming, said Benjamin Burroughs, professor of emerging media at University of Las Vegas. Why is there always a university professor to talk to about this stuff? This stuff's fairly new. Why aren't you talking to somebody who works for Facebook or somebody who uses it or a YouTuber? Why do you immediately we find some
professor?
It sounds professor.
More legit because that guy's a professor.
It's because that professor isn't doing anything useful with his life. And the Facebook guy that could comment on this has a job with Facebook providing something people want.
Now, madman, are you saying college is for useless idiots?
I'm saying
it's not a place for smart people.
This professor is a useless idiot, or he wouldn't be a professor of Facebook.
I want to be a porn historian.
You know, you could probably get a grant for that this day and age.
Somebody already has that job. I've seen the title.
Let's see. Facebook reports stronger than earnings, blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, they're hiring people, and they still don't know how to solve the live video aspect. Of course, hell, not even Network News has figured that out. See the Super Bowl a few years ago.
Fox. Let's close up with the guy in a shotgun.
Yeah, nothing can go wrong with this. Oh, Andy, his head's gone. Primetime TV, folks.
Fuck you, man. I love my LA fucking highway cop shows. Oh, that was live? Damn it.
When this, I don't think there's a way of stopping it. There's just a way of taking it down faster.
Yeah. No, I don't think you should try to stop it. I mean, if you go in and say, well, we're only going to let people we've approved live stream, okay, great, you're now in an editor. You're no longer subject to the safe harbor provisions of the DMCA. Have fun with that. But, you know, I don't know. I suppose you could reserve live streaming for those who've proved it, but the way accounts get hacked all the time, I don't think it's going to do anything good. Or you would have people who would go through the work of getting their account validated just so that they could live stream. Now, you know what probably the easiest way to prevent the shock videos and shit from like that from actually happening?
1 hour delay on live streams, but then they're not live streams anymore?
No. Facebook charge a fee for live streaming, like, you know, a dollar.
Somebody's going to open up a new live streaming service.
Oh, dude. Okay, GoFundMe, give me a dollar. I'm going to go on live stream and show my junk to children. Fuck it. Do you know how quickly I could get that shit funded? Just so people would have a laugh.
Yeah, that's true.
Having a paywall is not going to stop it.
But it would stop a lot of the bullshit.
It would stop the bullshit of those who were too poor or not talented enough to come up with their own bullshit.
Or just didn't think it was worth the effort.
Exactly. Me and Big could sit there for hours and come up with ideas for bullshit live streams to get paid.
Tell people, hey, it's a live stream. We don't have any control of the content. If you're concerned you might see a dick, maybe you shouldn't watch the live stream.
You're over the age of 18. Fucking deal with it. What? You're under the age of 18? What the fuck are you doing letting your child sit there and just watch whatever they want on the internet? Fucking be a parent.
I told you with the winning comment tonight.
I wouldn't say it's winning, but it's fucking, this is bullshit, dude. Like, you should be able to live stream whatever you want. I'm the consumer. I choose to look at your fucking, you know, your neck beard as you smear mayo all over yourself while playing Sonic the Hedgehog yelling arriba arriba yeehaw. Or I go over and watch the Puppy Channel.
So, last
thing, it's pushing anything, like people wanting to be famous? Just going out murdering people live stream?
Fuck off. We just did a story about a professional Snapchatter. No. You can do whatever the fuck you want. If you can be a professional Snapchatter, you know, then you can fucking live stream you beating your junk. There should be no restrictions.
Okay. I think those websites already exist, are you?
Yeah. I granted, why do you think I'm not in the biz?
All right. Last article I have for tonight is from The Verge. NASA has just announced several bounties to improve its fun 3D software, which is used to simulate fluid dynamics. The system is used internally at NASA, as well as by companies like Boeing and Lockheed, to develop and optimize new vehicles' engines. The Fun 3D project was started back in the 1980s and has been in active development for decades. But NASA is looking for help to optimize the code. It's offering $15,000 and $10,000 prizes to the top two contributors of code optimizations. It is also going to offer another bounty for more general optimization suggestions. Two catches. Fun3D is export controlled, so while the code is freely available to any U.S. citizen, it's not officially available to anyone outside the U.S. Not like that's going to stop anybody on the internet. Second catch is that the core mathy part of Fun3D is written in Fortran, a mostly infamous programming language that was developed in the 1950s and is still favored by some scientists but isn't very popular with programmers. NASA says it's hoping for a 10 to 1,000 speed improvement. Well, maybe if you took it out of Fortran, which sounds like a lot to ask for given the fact that anybody much better than the NASA engineers at Fortran and math can probably make a lot of money doing contract work. But there's something kind of cool about the challenge to optimize code for NASA. So,
this isn't new.
No, but I thought it was kind of cool.
It's very cool we're bringing back pay for code sort of thing. Like, if you can do it better, we'll pay you. We're no longer going to take you to court for fucking violation of our, you know, software.
I just love that it's in Fortran. Not a lot of stuff. I think that really is part of the problem, is Fortran has not been developed as a efficient language. It was developed as a research language, so I don't know how.
What is this hacker software, Fortran?
Oh, for good God's sake.
Is that how I fire my lasers?
No, sorry.
I don't know why that seemed appropriate. But, the Hacker Fortran. Damn it, Fox, that was good. I was going to say, you could just make optimizations to the Fortran compiler itself and probably win this.
The first submission will be Visual Basic. The next will be COBOL.
Thank
you, Your Honor. I swear, I thought I was looking at code. I don't know what this 4chan thing is you're talking about.
Oh fuck! There you go.
I think it's good. There are a lot of unemployed, talented people out there. I've got nothing better to do.
Well, the people who know Fortran are mostly retired at this point, so it might just be like, hey, there's something to do. So,
well, yeah, I think it's good. Bounty hunting.
So, all right, let's wrap this up with. Yo! Hadouken! All right, the last thing I have for tonight is actually an instructable. So if you don't have an ad block, you might want to install one before you click this link, because Instructables is terrible, I understand, without ad block installed. It actually tripped my mind the first time I saw the website without ad block, because I had never loaded it without ad block before, just how many ads are all over this thing, right? Anyways, this is somebody who built a custom controller for Kerbal Space Program. Now, I don't really play Kerbal Space Program very much, so I don't really care that much about the game, but the controller they built is based off an Arduino, which is a $30, you know, the Arduino Duo and the Uno Joy firmware. And he's got a really nice write-up of building a custom computer controller that ends up, it maps as a joystick, but you could probably quite easily do this for MIDI or probably some other controllers, control DMX or other control system software, or flat out map a joystick to whatever software you're doing. And you could easily build custom interfaces for systems following this guy's method. Now, he used a laser cutter and had some things made up professionally, which, you know, you could use a service and do, or, you know, get some steady hands and a drill press. You can probably make a lot of this stuff without the laser cutter. But he's got a nice write-up on building a custom controller for a computer, and apparently this firm will even work with PS3, so if you wanted to build a custom PS3 controller, you could do that too. Anyways, it's a nice write-up. It's easy to follow. And if you wanted to try making your own controllers for a system, this would be a good place to start.
Oh, that sounds neat.
So, oh, and he's got a link to example code that uses keyboard library instead of showing up as a joystick. So you could also just make custom keyboard controllers. So, I don't know, like if you did hardcore video editing or something like that and you wanted to build one of those big color correction controllers, because those things are like several thousand dollars. You might actually be able to build one much cheaper than you could buy one. So stuff like that would be probably worth exploring for you if you had that kind of a need or, you know, bored. That's what I got for tonight. So, the script. Where's the script? Here it is. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Pure Decking every Thursday. The Galaxy 15 Radio site, which I have got some ideas for a revamp. I'm probably going to switch out the IRC client to one that's not quite so bright on the eyes, because it really kind of clashes with the theme of the website, and maybe redo the theme of the website.
Thank you.
I don't want to make it match the IRC client because I think it's too bright. The
way
feedback
too bright.
Forum, which I haven't checked in years. The subreddit is probably the best way to send us links and feedback. So, yeah, somebody is kind enough to post the show in the subreddit every week, so that's a good place to leave comments. I do keep an eye on that. And that's all I've really got for tonight. Are you? Closing thoughts? Going to build a controller or what?
48 hours to go. French elections. Just watching the dirt fly. Fun. Madman will be on board for that. Going to do a 40-hour running commentary on it, where both of us probably blow our fucking brains out at the end of it, because it's so goddamn boring.
At least do it on live stream.
Yeah, live stream it, yeah. Make sure it gets flagged just before it gets good.
You know, maybe give him a little bit of a hint. Something might be going on by the barrel of the shotgun, just in frame.
Yeah, we're gonna throw up,
like you're not certain what it is.
Yeah, we're gonna throw up a Patreon account. Just chuck money. We don't know what we're gonna do, but as the money comes flowing in, we may do stuff. If not, just keep giving us money. Maybe we'll do something.
I think you've just described every cam whore site on the internet.
Hey, cashing in, baby, cashing in before we have to pay for it or whatever.
Fox, closing thoughts, building a controller, building a webcam site, what's up?
Yeah, the controller thing is pretty neat. I'd love to see a link to the story. Didn't post it, but I'll take your word for it being pretty badass.
Oh, did I not post it in TeamSpeak? I did not. I apologize.
No, that sounds like a pretty cool thing just to start messing around. I mean, you have...
He built a fairly convincing flight controller for...
Oh, yeah. No, looking at it, like he's done a damn good job with it for what he's doing, and you know, the fact that you have the ability to make shit like this nowadays, either by buying a 3D printer or just specking everything out in CAD and throwing it out to a site to do it for you, I think that's pretty awesome. Like that's something that you didn't really have the, you know, quick ability to do. So I like the whole openness of that technology.
He's got an Imgur album showing the whole thing, so there's that.
Yeah, I was just enjoying that he's got the instructions for everything up there. Very cool.
That's why I like that particular instructable. It's like, here's how he made a space station controller. And, I mean, yeah, you can see the USB hub he's got scrolled away in there to power everything, and I think he's got a couple of Arduinos. But, you know, still, he built a fairly badass controller.
That is pretty cool. I won't take anything away from him. That's very cool.
I don't know that Kerbal Space Program is the game I would have made this controller for. I'm probably more Elite Dangerous myself, but...
I would have gone with using Russian words, like letters and numbers and stuff.
Just to make it
Just to make it a little bit more, you know, Kerbal-orientated for really scary space stuff.
First country to weaponize space. They'll always have that.
The Major would really get a kick out of this. He'd probably attempt to make one too.
Yeah, he probably would. So, well, we'll have to make sure we shoot him that link. Madman, closing thoughts, ideas? Gonna build anything?
Email migration tomorrow, so I'm gonna go to work and not be able to see any of my emails. I'll be able to legitimately say, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. I'm going back to my desk now.
Madman, live stream it, set up a Patreon. I'm here all day, can't look at my email. Send me some money.
All right, that's, I think it's time for this.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.